So where is your joy? Here we are, the third week of Advent, right? You realize that what all Advent basically is the church making an entire season out of something that we might think of as very boring, which is waiting. And as you come to learn, the word Advent literally means arrival or coming. You're knowing that fact, by the way. I don't know if you realize this or not, but that makes you very useful for trivia games, as well as being the enlightened one in a party conversation when the word Advent comes up. Oh, by the way, did you know that could be you? This season of Advent even has its own color. You know, we most of the time it's blue. Today we go to the rose color, the pink color. Because this is that color that, you know, what color are your cheeks when you're cheery? Yeah, they're a little pinkish, right? That's what they, That's basically what we're doing. I never thought about this until just now, but that's what we're doing with the season of Advent. We're giving a little pinch on the cheeks just to make it, you know, because I bet you, you're not all thinking like, wow, I'm really feeling the joy. Now, are you? By the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but all the colors that we use in our liturgical stuff, this is not prayer book stuff. This isn't in the rubrics. It's all tradition. And so if we use any color we wanted, but then you wouldn't know where you were or when you were there. So consequently, we got to keep it steady. You know what I'm saying? But in Advent, what we're doing is we're awaiting the arrival of something. And that something is not just anything. That something is, well, a thing that will set us on a whole new adventure. Get it? Adventure. What are we waiting for? In our gospel lection today, we hear the preaching of John the Baptist, right? We were introduced to him last week. Now, John the B is not exactly a guy we would associate with joy, now would it? You heard Father Scott read the thing right there, right? You brood of vipers! Who warned you? You know, and all that. I love that old Jesus movie from back in the 70s or 80s where Harry Dean Stanton plays John the Baptist. And he quote it like this. He says, "You sons of snakes!" You know, I like that one a whole lot better. But I can always picture John the Baptist as a Harry Dean Stanton kind of guy. Now, young kids don't know who Harry Dean Stanton is, do you? No. So if any of us are going to hear John the Baptist preaching, whether it's flipping through channels, you know, remember that, or scrolling the internet, okay, doom scrolling, as they call it today, we probably wouldn't find ourselves drawn to it, or let alone be joyful, right? Did you feel joyful after that? No. John's firebrand style of preaching, while, it's very much in contrast with the preaching of Jesus, because you never heard Jesus call the people following him a brood of vipers, now did you? Jesus never mocked people after saying, "Who warned you about the wrath to come?" You know, Jesus didn't do any of that. God can make ancestors to Abraham out of these rocks. Who do you think you are? You know, John the Baptist says that. Not joyful, huh? Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. What are the trees? Well, I want you to know that the tree, you're not the trees, okay? So rest steady, okay? You're not the trees. The trees are those things that we do that we think proves that we are God's in crowd. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about there? The trees are our deeds that we hold forth as proof that might indicate that, oh, I'm in the right headspace, I'm in the right heart space to perceive what God's doing in the world. John says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And his point is very simple here. Be who you truly are, as opposed to being a hypocrite or a play actor, somebody who's just playing the part. Be who you actually are. Stop pretending that your identity in any particular ideological faction of society actually means anything to God. It does not. Let your being be a match for what you're doing, and vice versa. So where's the joy in that, right? Our epistle lesson today actually contained the words joy. I hope you were listening to that. It had the whole essence of the whole book of Philippians right there in those lines. Paul's message to the church of Philippi does fit our Advent theme here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. In fact, that's the word. That's what gaudete means. Right, that's Latin for rejoice, okay? Gaudete, rejoice. In the Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, you may be thinking, and many who can't get of their own ideological way may be thinking, but there's so much wrong in the world today. How can I rejoice? Well, Paul's admonition to rejoice always is followed up by a very poignant and pertinent request. And here, you heard it. You might not remember it. This is a test. Let your blank be known to all. What was the blank? I heard a few people mumble. Jeez. Yes. You got more of you got it than the 8 o'clock service. The 8 o'clock service, they were like drew blanks on that one. But they weren't awake, you know, so that's, you can, exactly. Let your gentleness, what is that about? We don't like the word gentleness. It is a Greek word that appears only 5 times in the entire New Testament, and none of them are in the gospel. It was a word that the early church liked to use to describe followers of Jesus. It's a combination of a preposition and a noun. The preposition is that epi part, which, you know, we have that word like in epidermis and EpiPen and, you know, that kind of a thing. Also, the last half of the word is from the word that we get, the word icon. Be like an icon. Okay, so when we have that word gentleness, let your gentleness, it's more than just gentleness. You know, in the old King James Version, it got rendered as moderation. Who wants that, right? It's like, oh, no, stay away from that. Or patience. No, we don't like those words nearly as much because it sounds a little too mamby-pamby, right? But epiacasis, let your gentleness, let yourself be like an icon to who Christ is. Whoa, that's a whole lot different now, isn't it? It's a word that the early church used to communicate a way of being that looked like Christ. Paul is directing us to be an icon of Christ in the world. And we are misguided when we look to the world and present and our circumstances that are presented amongst us as clues for how to feel. You know how we do that? You know, usually you might look to the headlines in the paper or listen to the news to decide how you're going to feel about things, right? We got that bass backwards, baby. The bad feelings are entirely in our control. The circumstances clearly are not. How we feel about them? Yes. The dysphoria that abides in a world is not a result of being aware of the nearness of the Lord. Paul corrects us. The Lord is near. He says this, don't worry about anything, but do what? Take it all to God. And when we take it all to God, what happens? Well, that's when you get what our fourth Sunday is going to be about, which is peace. The peace of God, which does what? Surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard is a very military type of word. It's like as though you have this watchful eye over you, this armed sentry that's going to keep an eye over you. We who have Christ have this watching out for us so that we can then experience peace even when all we see is not peace. So we wait. And the weight that we experience, you know, all of it is, there's a lot of baloney that happens in this life, right? The injustice, the mayhem, the chaos, the killing, the man's inhumanity to man, a lot of that going on. Waiting is horrible because it's during the waiting that all the bad stuff happens. But yet, waiting is what we're called to do. Advent is about us getting that this Jesus is the one who, nearing his arrival, we have to wait for it. But we have to generate that by pulling it towards ourselves. That's what active waiting is. We're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. You see, for us as Christians, we live in a world of that which is already and that which is not yet. And we have the task of putting both of those together. It's not easy. But this is where the joy is, my friends. That's why we're wearing this cheery rose color today, right? It's the color of joy. Because only when we relax in the waiting for Jesus that we can experience joy. It's all madness around us. The long checkout lines, those red brake lights in front of you on the highway. Oh, yeah, it's easy to not feel joy in those circumstances, right? But I'm terrible about waiting. Well, being good at waiting really isn't as hard as you think. All you got to do is this. Just stop and breathe. And I don't mean just a sigh from the shoulders. I mean a good breath from the gut. You know, diaphragm. Fill that thing up. That's a whole lot different than just... Stop and breathe. Did you know that you can pray without any words, without any thoughts, and without any ideas in your head? If you can just stop and take a deep inhale in and a long exhale out. And then you do it again and again and again. And you know what? That's what waiting looks like. Being willing to experience the presence of God in the very breath that we are taking in and that we're blowing out. A comedian once said, I saw a sign that said 24-hour banking, but it got me depressed because I don't have that much time. Thank you for getting it. I know you got it there. I'm not so sure about these people over here, though. During this season, we may feel as if we just don't have enough time, right? Oh, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. You know what? As it turns out, we do have the time. Let me give you a little newsflash here. There is no more time. You got all the time there is. There's no more to give you. Do you realize you get the same amount of time as everybody else? There's nobody getting more time than you. So how can you say you don't have the time? There is no more. You can't buy it. You can't take it from somebody else. Nobody gets more time. And there is no more time to give out. All that is there is given out. What's our access? Waiting and breathing. Feeling the joy of the waiting. Relish it, cherish it, celebrate it. Reconnect to this joy in this Advent and reconnect to the joy of waiting, because the Anointed One is not only coming, but he is near. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.